Namaham Vishnu Vandaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namne Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Bhashachari Satarine. What follows is a reading of the English translations of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapters 1 through 45 of the 10th canto, describing Lord Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, his entrance into Mathura, his killing of Kamsa, and his retrieval of the dead son of the spiritual master. Chapters 1 and 2 are given in summary. The first 13 chapters are Srila Prabhupada's translations. The following 32 are by Srila Vidyananda Das Goswami Acharya Dev. Occasionally, there will be a Sanskrit verse chanted from Srimad Bhagavatam or from Srila Rupa Goswami's summary of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, in which case the translation is by Sriman Kushakrata Das.
Mulotatavadahini bhavatado krishnanya trishnakshayaha kilan bhimani chakravakanichaya rachamyamanamahu gananam nikalasvana bahatume jivatati prangane gunatungadasavali sabakatapi yushkalolani.
Words that tell of your glorious deeds are a river of nectar, O Lord of my heart. And from those who drink deep at that river, desires for other words quickly depart. Sages they are, Chakravaka birds flame, those who drink at the river of talks about you. Uprooting the huge tree of death and rebirth, that river their faith ever freshens anew. Waves churn that river, exchanges of love as you sport with your dear ones, your pure devotees. Bubbling and rippling and murmuring sweetly, that stream delights all with divine melodies. O Krishna, O fount of sweet nectarous pastimes, O you whose great deeds should be heard and in sung, may the river of poetry limning your glories flow into my heart and then over my tongue. Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. Once, when the entire world was overburdened by the increasing military power of demons in the form of kings, Mother Earth assumed the shape of a cow and approached Lord Brahma for relief. Sympathetic to Mother Earth's lamentation, Brahma, accompanied by Lord Shiva and other demigods, took the cow-shaped Mother Earth to the shore of the milk ocean, where he offered prayers to please Lord Vishnu, who lay there on an island in transcendental ecstasy. Brahma thereafter understood the advice of Mahavishnu, who informed him that he would appear on the surface of the earth to mitigate the burden created by the demons. The demigods, along with their wives, should appear there as associates of Lord Krishna in the family of Yadu to increase the sons and grandsons in that dynasty. By the will of Lord Krishna, Anantadev would appear first as Balaram, and Krishna's potency, Yogamaya, would also appear. Brahma informed Mother Earth about all this, and then he returned to his own abode. After marrying Devaki, Vasudev was returning home with her on a chariot driven by Kamsa, her brother, when an ominous voice addressed Kamsa, warning him that Devaki's 8th son would kill him. Upon hearing this omen, Kamsa was immediately ready to kill Devaki, but Vasudev diplomatically began to instruct him. Vasudev stressed that it would not be good for Kamsa to kill his younger sister, especially at the time of her marriage. Anyone who possesses a material body must die, Vasudev advised him. Every living entity lives in a body for some time and then transmigrates to another body. But one is unfortunately misled into accepting the body as the soul. If a person under this mistaken conception wants to kill another body, he is condemned as hellish. Because Kamsa was not satisfied by Vasudev's instructions, Vasudev devised a plan. He offered to bring Kamsa all of Devaki's children so that Kamsa could kill them. Why then should Kamsa kill Devaki now? Kamsa was satisfied by this proposal. In due course of time, when Devaki gave birth to a child, Vasudev brought the newborn baby to Kamsa, who, upon seeing Vasudev's magnanimity, was struck with wonder. When Vasudev gave Kamsa the child, Kamsa, showing some intelligence, said that since he was to be killed by the eighth child, why should he kill the first? Although Vasudev did not trust him, Kamsa requested Vasudev to take the child back. Later, however, after Narada approached Kamsa and disclosed to him that the demigods were appearing in the Yadu and Vishnu dynasties and conspiring to kill him, Kamsa decided to kill all the children born in these families. And he also decided that any child born from the womb of Devaki must be killed. Thus he arrested and imprisoned both Devaki and Vasudev and killed six of their sons, one after another. Narada had also informed Kamsa that in his previous birth, Kamsa was Kalanemi, a demon killed by Vishnu. Consequently, Kamsa became a great enemy to all the descendants of the Yadu Vansha, the Yadu dynasty. He even arrested and imprisoned his own father, Ugrasen, for Kamsa wanted to enjoy the kingdom alone. Chapter 2. Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna in the Womb. Under the protection of his father-in-law, Jarasan, and with the help of his demoniac friends like Pralamba, Baka, Chanura, Trinavarta, Agasura, Mushtika, Bana, and Bomasura, Kamsa began oppressing the members of the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, the members of the Yadu dynasty left their homes and sought shelter in such states as Kuru, Panchala, Kaikeya, Shalva, and Vidarbha. Only some of them stayed with Kamsa as nominal friends. After Kamsa killed the Shatgarbhas, the six sons of Devaki, one after another, Anantadev entered Devaki's womb and was transferred to the womb of Rohini by the manipulation of Yogamaya, who was following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord himself, who was soon to appear as the eighth son of Devaki, ordered Yogamaya to take birth from the womb of Yashoda Devi. Because Krishna and his potency, Yogamaya, appeared simultaneously as brother and sister, the world is full of Vaishnavas and Shaktas, and there is certainly some rivalry between them. Vaishnavas worship the Supreme Lord, whereas Shaktas, according to their desires, worship Yogamaya in forms like Durga, Bhadrakali, and Chandika. Following the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya transferred Baladev, Sankarshan, the seventh child of Devaki, from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. Because Sankarshan appears in order to increase love of Krishna, he is known as Baladev. One may take auspicious strength from him to become a devotee of the Lord, and therefore he is also known as Balabhadra. After Yogamaya transferred the seventh child of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within the heart of Vasudev and transferred himself into the heart of Devaki. Because the Lord was present in her heart, Devaki, as her pregnancy continued, appeared effulgent. Upon seeing this effulgence, Kamsa was full of anxiety, but he could not harm Devaki because of their family relationship. Thus, he began indirectly thinking of Krishna and became fully Krishna conscious. Meanwhile, because of the Lord's presence within the womb of Devaki, all the demigods came to offer the Lord their prayers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, they said, is eternally the absolute truth. The spiritual soul is more important than the gross body, and the supersoul, Paramatma, is still more important than the soul. The Supreme Godhead is absolutely independent, and his incarnations are transcendental. The prayers of the demigods glorify and exalt devotees, and explain the fate of persons who superficially consider themselves liberated from the conditions of material nature. Chapter 3. The Birth of Lord Krishna.
Shri Shuku Vacho Atasava Kuno Petak Kalak Padam Shobhano Yahi Vajna Janmaksham Santaksha Grahatarakam Dishakpasedo Gaganam Nemalo Dugunodayam Mahi Mangala Bhuhishta Bhuragrama Vajakara Nabyakpasanna Salila Radha Jalahurasriya Vijali Kula Sannada Stavakavana Rajaya Bhavo Vajuk Sukhasparsha Punyagandha Bahakshuchi agnayascha jujatmanam asantas tatta samindato.
Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared, as did stars like Ashwini. The sun, the moon, and the other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees and green plants, full of flowers and leaves, pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. The pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the sense of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the Brahmins engaging in ritualistic ceremonies ignited their fires according to the Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the supreme personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and Brahmins who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men felt peace within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary system. The Kinnaras and Gandharvas began to sing auspicious songs, the Siddhas and Charanas offered auspicious prayers, and the Vidyadharis, along with the Apsaras, began to dance in jubilation. The demigods and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean's waves. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category as Sri Krishna.
Uttamadbhutam balakamam bhujikshinam chato bhujam shankakadajudayudam Shivatsa lakshmam kalasho bikhaustubam Vitambadam sandapayora saubagam Mahavaidu yakarita kundala Tishaparishvakta sahasva kundalam Uddhamakancham gadakanganadibi Virochamanam vasudeva aikshato.
Vasudeva then saw the newborn child, who had very wonderful lotus-like eyes, and who bore in his four hands the four weapons, conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. On his chest was the mark of Shivats, and on his neck the brilliant Kaustubha gem. Dressed in yellow, his body blackish like a dense cloud, his scattered hair fully grown, and his helmet and earrings sparkling uncommonly with the valuable gem Vaidurya, the child, decorated with a brilliant belt, armlets, bangles, and other ornaments, appeared very wonderful. When Vasudeva saw his extraordinary son, his eyes were struck with wonder. In transcendental jubilation, he mentally collected 10,000 cows and distributed them among the Brahmins as a transcendental festival. O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of King Bharat, Vasudeva could understand that this child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Having concluded this without a doubt, he became fearless. Bowing down with folded hands and concentrating his attention, he began to offer prayers to the child who illuminated his birthplace by his natural influence.
Shri Vasudeva Uvacha Viditosi Bhavan Sakshat Purusha Prakate Padaho Kevalan Bhavananda Sarupak Sarvabudhidri Zahiva Supakate Dham Shishtvagri Chikunapakam Tadanutram Yapavrishta Pavrishta Hiva Bhavisi Yatemi Vikata Bhavas Antatati Vikatai Soho Nana Viyakatam Bhuta Vidajam Janayantihi Sannipatya Samutpaja Vrishyanti Nukatahiva Bhagiva Vidyamanatvan Hatesham Mihasambhavo evam bhavan banyuno meya lakshanay graya gunay sannapitan gunagraho anavatat van bharandanam te sarvasya sarvatmanatma vastuno.
Vasudev said, "My Lord, you are the Supreme Person beyond material existence, and you are the Supersoul. Your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge, by which you can be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I now understand your position perfectly. My Lord, you are the same person who in the beginning created this material world by his personal external energy. After the creation of this world of three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas, you appear to have entered it, although in fact you have not. The Mahatattva, the total material energy, is undivided, but because of the material modes of nature, it appears to separate into earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Because of the living energy, the Jiva Bhuta, these separated energies combine to make the cosmic manifestation visible. But in fact, before the creation of the cosmos, the total energy is already present. Therefore, the total material energy never actually enters the creation. Similarly, although you are perceived by our senses because of your presence, you cannot be perceived by the senses, nor experienced by the mind or words. With our senses, we can perceive some things, but not everything. For example, we can use our eyes to see, but not to taste. Consequently, you are beyond perception by the senses. Although in touch with the modes of material nature, you are unaffected by them. You are the prime factor in everything, the all-pervading, undivided Supersoul. For you, therefore, there is no external or internal. You never entered the womb of Devaki. Rather, you already existed there. One who considers his visible body, which is a product of the three modes of nature, to be independent of the soul, is unaware of the basis of existence, and therefore he is a rascal. Those who are learned have rejected his conclusion, because one can understand through full discussion that with no basis in the soul, the visible body and senses would be insubstantial. Nonetheless, although his conclusion has been rejected, a foolish person considers it a reality. O my Lord, learned Vedic scholars conclude that the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the entire cosmic manifestation are performed by you, who are free from endeavor, unaffected by the modes of material nature, and changeless in your spiritual situation. There are no contradictions in you, who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman. Because the three modes of material nature, sattva, rajas, and tamas, are under your control, everything takes place automatically. My Lord, your form is transcendental to the three material modes, yet for the maintenance of the three worlds, you assume the white color of Vishnu in goodness. For creation, which is surrounded by the quality of passion, you appear reddish. And at the end, when there is a need for annihilation, which is surrounded by ignorance, you appear blackish. O my Lord, proprietor of all creation, you have now appeared in my house, desiring to protect this world. I am sure that you will kill all the armies that are moving all over the world under the leadership of politicians who are dressed as Kshatriya rulers, but who are factually demons. They must be killed by you for the protection of the innocent public. O my Lord, Lord of the demigods, after hearing the prophecy that you would take birth in our home and kill him, this uncivilized Kamsa killed so many of your elder brothers. As soon as he hears from his lieutenants that you have appeared, he will immediately come with weapons to kill you." Shukadev Goswami continued, "Thereafter, having seen that her child had all the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Devaki, who was very much afraid of Kamsa and unusually astonished, began to offer prayers to the Lord.
Shri Devakyuvacha Rupam Yattat Paharavyaktamajam Brahma Jyoti Nirgunam Nirvikaram Satta Matram Nirvishesham Nariham Sattvam Sakshat Vishnuranjatma Deepo Nashte Loki Dikvaradavasane Mahambhute Shadibhutam Gateshu Vyakti Vyaktam Kalavegena Yati Bhavane Kashishite Shishasangya.
Sri Devaki said, My dear Lord, there are different Vedas, some of which describe you as unperceivable through words and the mind. Yet you are the origin of the entire cosmic manifestation. You are Brahman, the greatest of everything, full of effulgence like the sun. You have no material cause. You are free from change and deviation, and you have no material desires. Thus the Vedas say that you are the substance. Therefore, my Lord, you are directly the origin of all Vedic statements, and by understanding you, one gradually understands everything. You are different from the light of Brahman and Paramatma, yet you are not different from them. Everything emanates from you. Indeed, you are the cause of all causes, Lord Vishnu, a light of all transcendental knowledge. After millions of years, at the time of cosmic annihilation, when everything manifested and unmanifested is annihilated by the force of time, the five gross elements enter into the subtle conception, and the manifested categories enter into the unmanifested substance. At that time, you alone remain, and you are known as Ananta Sheshanaga. O inaugurator of the material energy, this wonderful creation works under the control of powerful time, which is divided into seconds, minutes, hours, and years. This element of time, which extends for many millions of years, is but another form of Lord Vishnu. For your pastimes, you act as the controller of time, but you are the reservoir of all good fortune. Let me offer my full surrender unto your lordship. No one in this material world has become free from the four principles of birth, death, old age, and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my lord, death is fleeing in fear of you, and the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. My lord, because you dispel all the fear of your devotees, I request you to save us and give us protection from the terrible fear of Kamsa. Your form as Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is appreciated by yogis in meditation. Please make this form invisible to those who see with material eyes. O Madhusudana, because of your appearance, I am becoming more and more anxious in fear of Kamsa. Therefore, please arrange for that sinful Kamsa to be unable to understand that you have taken birth from my womb. O my Lord, you are the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your transcendental four-armed form, holding conch shell, disc, club, and lotus, is unnatural for this world. Please withdraw this form and become just like a natural human child, so that I may try to hide you somewhere. At the time of devastation, the entire cosmos, containing all created moving and non-moving entities, enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this, and I shall become an object of ridicule. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, My dear mother, best of the chaste, in your previous birth, in the Swayambhuva millennium, you were known as Prishni, and Vasudev, who was the most pious Prajapati, was named Sutapa. When both of you were ordered by Lord Brahma to create progeny, you first underwent severe austerities by controlling your senses. My dear father and mother, you endured rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat, and severe cold, suffering all sorts of inconvenience according to different seasons. By practicing pranayama to control the air within the body through yoga, and by eating only air and dry leaves fallen from the trees, you cleanse from your minds all dirty things. In this way, desiring a benediction from me, you worship me with peaceful minds. Thus you spent 12,000 celestial years performing difficult activities of tapasya in consciousness of me. O sinless Mother Devaki, after the expiry of 12,000 celestial years, in which you constantly contemplated me within the core of your heart with great faith, devotion, and austerity, I was very much satisfied with you. Since I am the best of all bestowers of benediction, I appeared in the same form as Krishna to ask you to take from me the benediction you desire. You then expressed your desire to have a son exactly like me. Being husband and wife, but always sonless, you were attracted by sexual desires, for by the influence of Devamaya, transcendental love, you wanted to have me as your son. Therefore, you never desired to be liberated from this material world. After you received that benediction and I disappeared, you engaged yourselves in sex to have a son like me, and I fulfilled your desire. Since I found no one else as highly elevated as you in simplicity and other qualities of good character, I appeared in this world as Krishnigarbha, or one who is celebrated as having taken birth from Krishna. In the next millennium, I again appeared from the two of you, who appeared as my mother Aditi and my father Kashyapa. I was known as Upendra, and because of being a dwarf, I was also known as Vamana. O supremely chaste mother, I, the same personality, have now appeared of you both as your son for the third time. Take my words as the truth. I have shown you this form of Vishnu just to remind you of my previous births. Otherwise, if I appeared like an ordinary human child, you would not believe that the supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu, has indeed appeared. Both of you, husband and wife, constantly think of me as your son, but always know that I am the supreme personality of Godhead. By thus thinking of me constantly with love and affection, you will achieve the highest perfection, returning home back to Godhead. Shukadeva Goswami said, after thus instructing his father and mother, the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, remained silent. In their presence, by his internal energy, he then transformed himself into a small human child. Thereafter, exactly when Vasudeva, being inspired by the supreme personality of Godhead, was about to take the newborn child from the delivery room, Yogamaya, the Lord's spiritual energy, took birth as the daughter of the wife of Maharaj Nanda. By the influence of Yogamaya, all the doorkeepers fell fast asleep, their senses unable to work, and the other inhabitants of the house also fell deeply asleep. When the sun rises, the darkness automatically disappears. Similarly, when Vasudeva appeared, the closed doors, which were strongly pinned with iron and locked with iron chains, opened automatically. Since the clouds in the sky were mildly thundering and showering, Anantanaga, an expansion of the supreme personality of Godhead, followed Vasudev, beginning from the door, with hoods expanded to protect Vasudev and the transcendental child. Because of the constant rain sent by the demigod Indra, the river Yamuna was filled with deep water, foaming about with fiercely whirling waves. But as the great Indian Ocean had formerly given way to Lord Ramchandra by allowing him to construct a bridge, the river Yamuna gave way to Vasudev and allowed him to cross. When Vasudev reached the house of Nanda Maharaj, he saw that all the coward men were fast asleep. Thus he placed his own son on the bed of Yashoda, picked up her daughter, an expansion of Yogamaya, and then returned to his residence, the prison house of Kamsa. Vasudev placed the female child on the bed of Devaki, bound his own legs with the iron shackles, and thus remained there as before. Exhausted by the labor of childbirth, Yashoda was overwhelmed with sleep and unable to understand what kind of child had been born to her. Chapter 4. The Atrocities of King Kamsa. Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear King Parikshit, the doors inside and outside the house closed as before. Thereafter, the inhabitants of the house, especially the watchmen, heard the crying of the newborn child and thus awakened from their beds. All the watchmen very quickly approached King Kamsa, the ruler of the Bhoja dynasty, and submitted the news of the birth of Devaki's child. Kamsa, who had awaited this news very anxiously, immediately took action. He jumped up from bed, thinking, here is Kala, the supreme time factor, which has taken birth to kill me. Thus overwhelmed, Kamsa, his hair scattered on his head, at once approached the place where the child had been born. Devaki helplessly, piteously appealed to Kamsa, my dear brother, all good fortune unto you. Don't kill this girl. She will be your daughter-in-law. Indeed, it is unworthy of you to kill a woman. My dear brother, by the influence of destiny, you have already killed many babies. Each of them is bright and beautiful as fire. But kindly spare this daughter. Give her to me as your gift. My lord, my brother, I am very poor, being bereft of all my children. But still I am your younger sister, and therefore it would be worthy of you to give me this last child as a gift. Shukadeva Goswami continued, piteously embracing her daughter and crying, Devaki begged Kamsa for the child, but he was so cruel that he chastised her and forcibly snatched the child from her hands. having uprooted all relationships with his sister because of intense selfishness, Kamsa, who was sitting on his knees, grasped the newborn child by the legs and tried to dash her against the surface of a stone. The child, Yogamaya Devi, the younger sister of Lord Vishnu, slipped upward from Kamsa's hands and appeared in the sky as Devi, the goddess Durga, with 8 arms, completely equipped with weapons. The goddess Durga was decorated with flower garlands, smeared with sandalwood pulp, and dressed with excellent garments and ornaments made of valuable jewels. Holding in her hands a bow, a trident, arrows, a shield, a sword, a conch shell, a disc, and a club, and being praised by celestial beings like the Apsaras, Kinnaras, Urugas, Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas, who worshipped her with all kinds of presentations, she spoke as follows. O Kamsa, you fool! What will be the use of killing me? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has been your enemy from the very beginning, and who will certainly kill you, has already taken his birth somewhere else. Therefore, do not unnecessarily kill other children. After speaking to Kamsa in this way, the goddess Durga, Yogamaya, appeared in different places, such as Varanasi, and became celebrated by various names, such as Annapurna, Durga, Kali, and Bhadra. After hearing the words of the goddess Durga, Kamsa was struck with wonder. Thus he approached his sister Devaki and brother-in-law Vasudev, released them immediately from their shackles, and very humbly spoke as follows. Alas, my sister! Alas, my brother-in-law! I am indeed so sinful that exactly like a man-eater who eats his own child, I have killed so many sons born of you. Being merciless and cruel, I have forsaken all my relatives and friends. Therefore, like a person who has killed a Brahmin, I do not know to which planet I shall go, either after death or while breathing. Alas, not only human beings, but sometimes even providence lies. And I am so sinful that I believe the omen of providence and kill so many of my sister's children. O great souls, your children have suffered their own misfortune. Therefore, please do not lament for them. All living entities are under the control of the Supreme, and they cannot always live together. In this world, we can see that pots, dolls, and other products of the earth appear, break, and then disappear, mixing with the earth. Similarly, the bodies of all conditioned living entities are annihilated, but the living entities themselves, like the earth itself, are unchanging and never annihilated. One who does not understand the constitutional position of the body and the soul becomes too attached to the bodily concept of life. Consequently, because of attachment to the body and its byproducts, he feels affected by union with and separation from his family, society, and nation. As long as this continues, one continues his material life. My dear sister Devaki, all good fortune unto you. Everyone suffers and enjoys the results of his own work under the control of providence. Therefore, although your sons have unfortunately been killed by me, please do not lament for them. In the bodily concept of life, one remains in darkness, without self-realization, thinking, I am being killed, or I have killed my enemies. As long as a foolish person thus considers the self to be the killer or the killed, he continues to be responsible for material obligations, and consequently he suffers the reactions of happiness and distress. Kamsa begged, My dear sister and brother-in-law, please be merciful to such a poor-hearted person as me, since both of you are saintly persons. Please excuse my atrocities. Having said this, Kamsa fell at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki, his eyes full of tears of regret. Fully believing in the words of the goddess Durga, Kamsa exhibited his familial affection for Devaki and Vasudeva by immediately releasing them from their iron shackles. When Devaki saw her brother actually repentant while explaining ordained events, she was relieved of all anger. Similarly, Vasudeva was also free from anger. Smiling, he spoke to Kamsa as follows. O great personality Kamsa, only by the influence of ignorance does one accept the material body and bodily ego. What you have said about this philosophy is correct. Persons in the bodily concept of life, lacking self-realization, differentiate in terms of this is mine and this belongs to another. Persons with the vision of differentiation are imbued with the material qualities of lamentation, jubilation, fear, envy, greed, illusion, and madness. They are influenced by the immediate cause, which they are busy counteracting, because they have no knowledge of the remote, supreme cause, the personality of Godhead. Shukadeva Goswami continued, Thus, having been addressed in purity by Devaki and Vasudev, who were very much appeased, Kamsa felt pleased, and with their permission he entered his home. After that night passed, Kamsa summoned his ministers and informed them of all that had been spoken by Yogamaya. After hearing their master's statement, the envious demons, who were enemies of the demigods and were not very expert in their dealings, advised Kamsa as follows. If this is so, O king of the Bhoja dynasty, beginning today we shall kill all the children born in all the villages, towns, and pasturing grounds within the past 10 days or slightly more. The demigods always fear the sound of your bowstring. They are constantly in anxiety, afraid of fighting. Therefore, what can they do by their endeavors to harm you? While being pierced by your arrows, which you discharged on all sides, some of them, who were injured by the multitude of arrows but who desired to live, fled the battlefield, intent on escaping. Defeated and bereft of all weapons, some of the demigods gave up fighting and praised you with folded hands, and some of them, appearing before you with loosened garments and hair, said, O Lord, we are very much afraid of you. When the demigods are bereft of their chariots, when they forget how to use weapons, when they are fearful or attached to something other than fighting, or when their bows are broken and they have thus lost the ability to fight, your majesty does not kill them. The demigods boast uselessly while away from the battlefield. Only where there is no fighting can they show their prowess. Therefore, from such demigods, we have nothing to fear. As for Lord Vishnu, he is in seclusion in the core of the hearts of the yogis. As for Lord Shiva, he has gone to the forest. And as for Lord Brahma, he is always engaged in austerities and meditation. The other demigods, headed by Indra, are devoid of prowess. Therefore, you have nothing to fear. Nonetheless, because of their enmity, our opinion is that the demigods should not be neglected. Therefore, to uproot them completely, engage us in fighting with them, for we are ready to follow you. As a disease, if initially neglected, becomes acute and impossible to cure, or as the senses, if not controlled at first, are impossible to control later, so an enemy, if neglected in the beginning, later becomes insurmountable. The foundation of all the demigods is Lord Vishnu, who lives and is worshipped wherever there are religious principles, traditional culture, the Vedas, cows, Brahmins, austerities, and sacrifices with proper remuneration. O King, we who are your adherents in all respects shall therefore kill the Vedic Brahmins, the persons engaged in offering sacrifices and austerities, and we shall kill the cows that supply milk, from which clarified butter is obtained for the ingredients of sacrifice. The Brahmins, the cows, Vedic knowledge, austerity, truthfulness, control of the mind and senses, faith, mercy, tolerance, and sacrifice are the different parts of the body of Lord Vishnu, and they are the paraphernalia for a godly civilization. Lord Vishnu, the Supersoul within the core of everyone's heart, is the ultimate enemy of the Asuras, and is therefore known as Asura Dvit. He is the leader of all the demigods, because all the demigods, including Shiva and Brahma, exist under his protection. The great saintly persons, sages and Vaishnavas also depend upon him. To persecute the Vaishnavas, therefore, is the only way to kill Vishnu. Shukadev Goswami continued, thus, having considered the instructions of his bad ministers, Kamsa, who was bound by the laws of Yamaraj and devoid of all good intelligence because he was a demon, decided to persecute the saintly persons, the Brahmins, as the only way to achieve his own good fortune. These demons, the followers of Kamsa, were expert at persecuting others, especially the Vaishnavas, and could assume any form they desired. After giving these demons permission to go everywhere and persecute the saintly persons, Kamsa entered his palace. Surcharged with passion and ignorance, and not knowing what was good or bad for them, the demons for whom impending death was waiting began the persecution of the saintly persons. My dear king, when a man persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to higher planets will be destroyed. Chapter 5, The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. Shukadev Goswami said, Nanda Maharaj was naturally very magnanimous, and when Lord Sri Krishna appeared as his son, he was overwhelmed with jubilation. Therefore, after bathing and purifying himself and dressing himself properly, he invited Brahmins who knew how to recite Vedic mantras. After having these qualified Brahmins recite auspicious Vedic hymns, he arranged to have the Vedic birth ceremony celebrated for his newborn child according to the rules and regulations, and he also arranged for worship of the demigods and forefathers. Nanda Maharaj gave 2 million cows, completely decorated with cloth and jewels, in charity to the Brahmins. He also gave them 7 hills of grain, covered with jewels and with cloth decorated with golden embroidery. O King, by the passage of time, land and other material possessions are purified. By bathing, the body is purified, and by being cleansed, unclean things are purified. By purificatory ceremonies, birth is purified. By austerity, the senses are purified. And by worship and charity offered to the Brahmins, material possessions are purified. By satisfaction, the mind is purified, and by self-realization, or Krishna consciousness, the soul is purified. The Brahmins recited auspicious Vedic hymns, which purify the environment by their vibration. The experts in reciting old histories like the Puranas, the experts in reciting the histories of royal families, the general reciters, all chanted, while singers sang and many kinds of musical instruments like bheris and bundubis played in accompaniment. Rajapur, the residence of Nanda Maharaj, was fully decorated with varieties of festoons and flags, and in different places, gates were made with varieties of flower garlands, pieces of cloth, and mango leaves. The courtyards, the gates near the roads, and everything within the rooms of the houses were perfectly swept and washed with water. The cows, the bulls, and the calves were thoroughly smeared with a mixture of turmeric and oil, mixed with varieties of minerals. Their heads were bedecked with peacock feathers, and they were garlanded and covered with cloth and golden ornaments. O King Parikshit, the cowherd men dressed very opulently with valuable ornaments and garments such as coats and turbans. Decorated in this way and carrying various presentations in their hands, they approached the house of Nanda Maharaj. The gopi wives of the cowherd men were very pleased to hear that Mother Yashoda had given birth to a son, and they began to decorate themselves very nicely with proper dresses, ornaments, black ointment for the eyes, and so on. Their lotus-like faces extraordinarily beautiful, being decorated with saffron and newly grown kumkum, the wives of the cowherd men hurried to the house of Mother Yashoda with presentations in their hands. Because of natural beauty, the wives had full hips and full breasts, which moved as they hurried along. In the ears of the gopis were brilliantly polished jeweled earrings, and from their necks hung metal lockets. Their hands were decorated with bangles, their dresses were of varied colors, and from their hair flowers fell onto the street like showers. Thus, while going to the house of Maharaj Nanda, the gopis, their earrings, breasts, and garlands moving, were brilliantly beautiful. Offering blessings to the newborn child, Krishna, the wives and daughters of the cowherd men said, "May you become the king of Raja and long maintain all its inhabitants." They sprinkled a mixture of turmeric powder, oil, and water upon the birthless Supreme Lord and offered their prayers. Now that the all-pervading unlimited Lord Krishna, the master of the cosmic manifestation, had arrived within the estate of Maharaj Nanda, various types of musical instruments resounded to celebrate the great festival. In gladness, the cowherd men enjoyed the great festival by splashing one another's bodies with a mixture of curd, condensed milk, butter, and water. They threw butter on one another and smeared it on one another's bodies. The great-minded Maharaj Nanda gave clothing, ornaments, and cows in charity to the cowherd men to please Lord Vishnu, and thus he improved the condition of his own son in all respects. He distributed charity to the Sutas, the Magadhas, the Vandis, and men of all other professions, according to their educational qualifications, and he satisfied everyone's desires. The most fortunate Rohini, the mother of Baladev, was honored by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and thus she also dressed gorgeously and decorated herself with a necklace, a garland, and other ornaments. She was busy wandering here and there to receive the women who were guests at the festival. O Maharaj Parikshit, the home of Nanda Maharaj is eternally the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His transcendental qualities, and is therefore always naturally endowed with the opulence of all wealth. Yet, beginning from Lord Krishna's appearance there, it became the place for the pastimes of the Goddess of Fortune. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "Thereafter, my dear King Parikshit, O best protector of the Kuru dynasty, Nanda Maharaj appointed the local coward men to protect Gokula and then went to Mathura to pay the yearly taxes to King Kamsa. When Vasudev heard that Nanda Maharaj, his very dear friend and brother, had come to Mathura and already paid the taxes to Kamsa, he went to Nanda Maharaj's residence. When Nanda heard that Vasudev had come, he was overwhelmed with love and affection, being as pleased as if his body had regained its life. Seeing Vasudev suddenly present, he got up and embraced him with both arms. O Maharaj Parikshit, having thus been received and welcomed by Nanda Maharaj with honor, Vasudev sat down very peacefully and inquired about his own two sons because of intense love for them. My dear brother Nanda, at an advanced age you had no son at all and were hopeless of having one. Therefore, that you now have a son is a sign of great fortune. It is also by good fortune that I am seeing you. Having obtained this opportunity, I feel as if I have taken birth again. Even though one is present in this world, to meet with intimate friends and dear relatives in this material world is extremely difficult."